So I want us to open our Bibles this morning to 2 Kings chapter number 12. Holy Spirit, help us this morning. 2 Kings chapter number 12. And I'm going to read a fairly long passage. And I want you to please pay attention because we will not have the opportunity of coming over to read this passage again. 2 Kings chapter number 12. Second Kings is after the First Kings and before First Chronicles. It's in the whole Testament. 2 Kings chapter number 12. And I'll read from verse number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 12, I'll read from verse number 4. And Jehoash said to the priests, "All the money of the dedicated gift that are brought into the house of the Lord, each man's census money, each man's assessment money, and all the money that a man proposes in his heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it themselves, each from his constituency, and let them repair the damages of the temple wherever any dilapidation is found." Now it was so by the 23rd year of King Jehoash that the priests had not repaired the damages of the temple. So King Jehoash called Jehoiada, the priest, and the other priests, and said to them, "Why have you not repaired the damages of the temple? Now, therefore, do not take more money from your constituency, but deliver it for repairing the damages of the temple." And the priests agreed that they would neither receive more money from the people nor repair the damages of the temple. Then Jehoiada, the priest, took a chest, bored a hole in its lid, and set it beside the altar on the right side as one comes into the house of the Lord. And the priests who kept the door put there all the money brought into the house of the Lord. Verse number 10. So it was whenever they saw that there was much money in the chest that the king's scribe and the high priest came and put it in bags and counted the money that was found in the house of the Lord. Then they gave the money which had been apportioned into the hand of those who did the work, who had the oversight of all the house of the Lord, and they paid it out to the carpenters and builders who worked on the house of the Lord, and to masons and stone cutters, and for buying timber and hewn stone to repair the damage of the house of the Lord, and for all that was paid out to repair the temple. Verse number 13. However, there were not made for the house of the Lord basins of silver, trimmers, sprinkling bowls, trumpets, any articles of gold or articles of silver from the money brought into the house of the Lord. Verse 14. Very important. But they gave that to the workmen, and they repaired the house of the Lord. Moreover, they did not require any account from the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be paid to the workmen, for they dealt faithfully. Can I have the verse over there, please? I'll read verse 15 again from here, New King James. Moreover, they did not require an account from the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be paid to workmen, for they dealt faithfully. I have another translation here. No accounting was required from the men who received the money to pay those doing the work, since they worked with integrity. No accounting was required from the men who received the money to pay those doing the work, since they worked with integrity. This morning, by the grace of God, I'm going to be teaching on what I've titled, Integrity in Money Matters. Integrity in Money Matters. Shall we pray? Father, as we go into your word this morning, we ask that you speak to us, O God, especially as it relates to money. We ask, O Lord, that you speak clearly and expressly into our heart. I ask for a fresh grace and an anointing upon the ears and the heart of your people. I ask, O Lord, that you anoint their ears and their heart. Let them receive the word that you're going to be pumping out from this altar. into the very deepest part of their heart. I ask that you anoint me to deliver and to declare your word with grace, with precision, with accuracy, with love, and with the comfort of the Spirit of the Lord. And I ask that you take this word that comes out from this lips of clay, O God, and you use it, O Lord, to weave an eternal character into the hearts of your people as it relates to integrity, specifically with money and in life in general. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Louder. Amen. Amen. This morning, like I said, we're going to be talking about integrity in money matters. And this is about the fifth installment of the message that we've been teaching on the title, Entrusted. Entrusted. Integrity in money matters. Integrity in money matters. Now, the story has been told about a not too honest judge who was going to be sitting over a particular case involving two truck drivers. Now, these two truck drivers had employed separate lawyers. Something had happened between them. There had been a crash involving the two trucks, and both sides were claiming to be, you know, to be on the right. So they had employed the lawyers, and the lawyers were supposed to submit their brief to the judge. The first lawyer came into the office, submitted the brief, and later on, the second lawyer also came around and submitted the brief. So while the judge was going through their brief, he discovered a bribe. In the first document he discovered from the first lawyer, he discovered a $10,000 bribe. And then as he was reviewing the brief submitted by the second lawyer, he discovered a $15,000 bribe. So he thought for a while, and he called his secretary. And he told the secretary, make a check of $5,000 back to the second lawyer because we're going to deal with this case on its own merits. I'm not sure whether you got that, but what it means is that the judge was happy to take $10,000 from each of them, set the stage, and allow them to have a level playing field from which he will be able to deliver his judgment. To me, that's not a very honest judge. Integrity in money matters. I'm sure you'll be wondering, why are we talking about this? Because it is important. It is important that we are people of integrity when it comes to money issues. It amazes me how people suddenly change when money is involved. Great people, nice people, fantastic friends, but you cannot tell exactly who they are until money is involved. It's coming to the time that we're going to be reporting our taxes. Maybe some people have already started reporting taxes. And it will amaze you how much is lost by the ATO because of unreported taxes. It will also surprise you what people put into their taxes and claim that they bought when they actually did not buy. It will surprise you how many of the things that are received that were not actually bought just in an attempt to gather some more funds. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm in for, you know, getting as much back as possible legitimately. As a matter of fact, if we as believers are allowing our money to be given to other people, organizations, whatsoever the case may be, I think we're not being shrewd with our money. We're wasting the resources that the heavens are giving unto us. But it amazes me how people claim things that never happened. And I wouldn't have been surprised if these people that we're talking about are people of the world. I mean, unsaved folks. Unsaved folks can do anything. But when you talk about people who are born again, sanctified, heaven-bound, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, are doing exactly that, it is alarming. Now, in this particular passage that we've just read, I will just give you a background and a summary of what had transpired so that you understand what actually went on in that passage. In 2 Kings chapter number 12, the king had called the priest that the temple was in a bad shape. And he had requested that the priest gathered some funds from people. These were money that was normally gathered anyway, but the king had requested that those money be used to repair the building, to repair the temple, because it was in a bad shape. The census money. In those days, everyone that is over the age 20 pays a certain amount of money. They call it the census money. I think it's about half of a shekel. It won't make any sense to us because we're not expressing it in dollars. They have a census money. They have what is referred to as assessment money. Assessment money is what we'll probably liken to our property tax these days. So you are assessed, and then you are asked to pay a certain amount of money. You know, for instance, you look at somebody like Brian and Taffy, you just look at them, how much they earn and how much they've got, and you bill them. You ask them to pay a certain amount of money. So the king had asked the priest to collect the census money and to collect the assessment money, but rather than going into the coffers of the king, it was supposed to be used to repair the temple because the temple was in a bad shape. So not just the census money and not just the assessment money, but there was also a free will offering. I've always discovered that God always gives that opportunity for somebody that wants to just do more. Someone that wants to, apart from the regular giving, if you decide that you want to be involved in building the temple or in repairing the temple, the king said, take that money from them and use it. But to his surprise, after a while, and the Bible is silent about how long it took, but I will imagine it must have taken a couple of years, it was discovered that the temple was still as dilapidated as it was at the beginning of this exercise. And the king called the priest onto whose hand he had committed the assignment. What's going on? Guys, you're not doing anything. We don't know exactly what happened to the money. We knew that as a yearly thing, annually, people will give census money. People will give assessment money. And I'm sure that people will have given free will offerings. But nothing had happened to the house. So the king changed the tactic. The king said, the priest should involve the scribe. So what the prince did was this. The priest took the initiative, and he got a kind of a box and put it somewhere in the temple where it was conspicuous. Everyone could see it. And he said, anyone that will want this house to be built, or rather, this house to be repaired, because it was not a new building, it was supposed to be repaired, should put money into this place. And the king had ordered them, stop taking the assessment money. Stop taking the census money, because you have taken the money and you have not seen anything to show for it. So, to their surprise, things started taking shape. People started bringing money and putting it there. And the money will be, after the box is filled up, they will take the money and keep it somewhere else and open it up again so that people could give more money. No pressure. No pressure whatsoever. But people gave. And the Bible makes us understand the kind of men that were involved in this case. And these are the kind of men that I will desire that many more of us in the body of Christ become, because it makes a lot of difference when it comes to not just execution of physical projects, but the execution of spiritual projects. And that's what brings us to verse number 15. Verse number 15 of the place we have just read says this in 2 Kings chapter number 12. Moreover, they did not require an account from the men into whose hands they delivered the money to be paid to the workmen, for they dealt faithfully. For they dealt faithfully. The other translation I read says, since they worked with integrity. So what they would do is, when the money was enough, they gave it, handed it over to certain superintendents. And those superintendents gave it to the people that were actually doing the work. The carpenter, the stonemasons, the electrician, as it were, the plumber. And they directly disbursed the money to the people that were doing the work. And the Bible records that no accounting was required from the men. No one asked them, what did you do with the money? Why? Because these men had integrity. There was no audit of that account. Now, This was the same project that had many more avenues for fund generation in the years before, and nothing happened. They were handed over to the priests. Nothing happened. They had three sources of income: the census money, assessment money, free will offering. Those three sources, they still could not achieve anything. Now, a different method was established such that you only give the free will offering. Because the assessment money and the census money was not available, and because it was given into the hands of men of integrity, things got done. Another translation calls these men honest men. They were honest and trustworthy men. Another translation says they dealt faithfully. But I've decided to use the word integrity because sometimes when we use the word honest, we tend to limit it to what is said by people. We don't tend to relate it with the way people live and comport themselves. Integrity clearly shows is a quality, is a state of being. It's a state of being which displays some sound moral principle, uprightness, some honesty, some sincerity. So although it's the same thing as honesty and faithfulness, I've decided to use the word integrity just to bring home the point that it is a state of being, not just what is said. Men and women of God are expected to be people of integrity when it comes to money matters. Men and women of God, believers, born again, Christians, are supposed to be men of integrity when it comes to money matters. People should not lose their sleep when you are involved with their money. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men. Before men. You know, we have dealt with we have dealt over the past couple of weeks with how we behave, how we deal with money because God is involved. But I want to bring it down to the terrestrial platform to let us understand that how we deal with money when men, people are involved, matters to God. We are supposed to be men and women of integrity when it comes to money. It amazes me how people lie about money, cheat about money at all realms and in all places. In places of work, in local organizations. I mean, people steal from everywhere, telling bad lies. And it is when money is involved that lies suddenly start to have colors. And people start talking about it being white or blue or yellow. Because they lack integrity. Are we in church together? Because they lack, people steal from all kinds of places. You probably have read and heard of pastors stealing money from church. That's the highest platform of, the highest realm of absurdity. I mean, stealing directly from church, from the church purse. And of course, they had a grandfather in Judas. Because Judas stole from Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you beat that? Jesus. They knew Jesus. They knew Jesus had the capacity to know what he has not been told. But Judas still had the audacity to steal from the purse. John chapter 12, verse 6. In Acts chapter number 5, people actually lied about their money because of money that was involved. John chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, you probably have heard the story. They lied because money was involved. It will surprise you that many homes break up and break down. Many marriages break down, not necessarily because of lack of money, but because of lack of integrity with the handling of money. Men tell lies. Women tell a lot of lies when money is involved. It's shocking. I mean, I've had the opportunity over the last 20 years, by the grace of God, of speaking to people and counseling people at various stages of their, you know, relationship. And it will surprise you how much lies we tell when money is involved. There are certain homes that the spouses don't even know how much each person makes because of lies all over the place. Have you got the money? No, I've not got the money. And the guy has got the money, has used the money for other things. The lady has already gone shopping with the money, and he's claiming that he has not even seen the money. He's got it. He's used it. Lies everywhere. And if it was, like I said, in the midst of the people of the world, that would probably be understandable because the Bible refers to the devil as the father of lies. But when it comes to the people in the kingdom, saved, sanctified people, heaven-bound people, losing their integrity on the platform of money is shocking. We have the example of these men, and they were able to complete the task because the Bible says they were men of integrity. They were men of integrity. I want to challenge you, people of God, this morning. Let not your integrity be lost because of dollars. Your integrity worth far more than that. You're better than that, people of God. You are better than that. You're better than telling lies about money. You know, when we talk about relationship, especially when we talk about kingdom relationship between men and women who are saved, because that's actually the smoothest one to the best of my knowledge. When men and women in the same relationship are saved, it's great. It's fantastic. And that's why over the years, by the grace of God, I've never counseled anyone to go after their hearts when it comes to choosing partners. I always counsel people, marry a saved man. Marry a saved woman. You will save yourself a lot of troubles in such a relationship. But it will surprise you that even in such relationship, people still tell a lot of lies. And I say, why would you tell a lie? And you will say, well, it's because she won't understand. She will want to use the money for some other things, which is not important to this house. I said, no, that's not the way to lead your home. You tell her, I've got the money. This is the amount of the money. And we're not using it for that nonsense because we're going to use it for this one. And you may start convulsing if you like. That's straightforward. The money is there. But we're using it for this one because it will better us. It will better our home. It will better our marriage. It will better our family. Those clothes can wait. Those shoes can wait. There have been shoes before you were born. After you are departed, there will still be shoes. Am I talking to somebody? This is what we're using the money for because it's going to build our home and build our family. And I don't care whether you start convulsing. Somebody must take charge of the home. And if that man has lost it, let the woman take it. Because if somebody has to take charge of the home financially, you can't say my husband is useless. But then you step in. You step in. I mean, if you were coming from a party and the man has had a lot to drink and he sits and he wants to drive, or maybe he has started driving, and you discover that he's going off the road, you don't sit there and say, well, he's the head of the home, let him keep driving, because the two of you are going to crash. You tell that man to stop, you take the key and you ask him to calm down, and you take the seat. Hopefully you have not had too much to drink yourself. Because so many homes are crashing because nobody is taking charge and willing to actually confront the situation. We think we can escape it just by telling lies. All kinds of lies about money. God is not impressed. God is not impressed. Integrity with money. There are instances when couples will agree. Let's use this money for this, and it will be handed over to the wife to get it done. And the woman will come with all kinds of stories, all kinds of tortoise and monkey story after a week. Because the project that she was supposed to have executed for the home was never executed because it's gone to something else. And she does not have the effrontery to confront the man and tell him, this is what I've used the money for. I tell people, telling lies just make you lose some part of you. Some part of you. Why do we have to uphold our integrity when money is involved? I'll just share three things very quickly. Three things that is, three reasons why you need to keep your integrity in money matters. Number one, financial integrity makes you a whole person. Financial integrity makes you a whole person. What do I mean by that? You probably not realize that the word integrity is from the word integer. Integer is a mathematic term. It's a term from mathematics. And it means a whole number. We use it for a whole number. So 3 is an integer. 5 is an integer. 3.5 is not. Integrity makes you a whole person. That's why the word complete faithfulness is used to describe those men. Because it makes them whole. When you start dealing in a situation in a way that you lose your integrity with money matters, you lose your wholeness. You lose your completeness. You lose your togetherness. You lose that thing that makes you whole and complete. Because there is a part of you that is affected when you tell lies about money matters, when you lose your integrity about money matters. That part of you is called conscience. There is a part of you that starts fighting against you when you lack integrity in money matters. It's called conscience. That button in your heart that tells you, no, that's not really true. That's not really true. You've spent the money, tell him. You spent the money, tell her. You've received that money. You've dealt, with that money in a way that is not approved by you or approved by him or approved by her. So tell him, tell her. That thing is conscience. I remember the first instance that I actually recognized what conscience was all about was while I was in the high school. I just took a small pen, just a pen. But it wasn't mine, you know. I just took it home. And then I couldn't sleep. Why? Because there was a conscience telling me that thing was not yours. It's just a pen, small pen. But I struggled. The following day, I had to run quickly and go and return it back to where I got it from. I told the person, I can't even remember the details, but I knew that it was wrong. And that was my first instance. That was the first time I actually appreciate what conscience is all about. Because a house, it makes you to be a house that is divided against itself. You are not whole anymore. There is something that is lacking in you. There is something that is fighting with you because you have lost your integrity and therefore you have lost something called your conscience. Somebody say, well, but I tell lies about such matters every day. I mean, and I don't feel like something is fighting against me. Your situation is even more dangerous. Why? Because you have succeeded in killing that part that is supposed to be giving you information about the danger ahead. You've killed the conscience. Completely. Remember, the Bible talks about those who have had their conscience seared with hot iron. Seared with hot iron. God wants your conscience to be part of you as a whole being. And that's why he saved you completely, including your conscience. Remember what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 9. If the blood of goats and of bulls and the ashes of heifer makes for the purification of the flesh, sprinkling the unclean makes for the purification of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish, purge your conscience to serve the living God? So your conscience is that important to God that he had to save it using the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you lose that battle at that conscience level, you are no longer whole. The integer factor is lost. You are half. Or maybe a quarter or something. Get it back, people of God. Get it back. Get it back. Financial integrity makes you a whole person. Number 2, financial integrity makes you a bold person. Financial integrity makes you a bold person. We don't have all the time, but maybe when you get home, for those of you who are writing, you may write 1 Samuel chapter number 3. The children of Israel had just come to Samuel to request for a king. And on the coronation day, Samuel had asked them, did I take anyone's oxen? Did I take anyone's donkey? Did I take any bribe from anyone? And I said, why do you have to wait until coronation day? Coronation day was a big day in Israel. Because Saul was going to be installed. Everyone in Israel, as it were present. The whole place was filled with people. Everyone was present. And then he said, did I take anything from anyone? If you are taking anything from anyone, say it now because I'm going to repay it. What do you think will make a man to ask that kind of a question? Integrity. He was that bold because he has integrity. He had integrity in his heart. He knew he had not dealt, you know, deceitfully with anyone. So he had that confidence to ask that question. Did I take anything from anyone? Many more of our leadership problem, both in the house of the Lord and, of course, even in the secular society, stems from the point of the fact that the people that are supposed to be providing leadership lack integrity. So their boldness is gone. And it is important for you to be bold in life. Courage, confidence to handle matters of life in general often stem from the confidence that you get from certain other areas. What I mean by that is this. The boldness that you are able to accumulate in the area of the finances has a way of seeping through into your confidence level when it comes to dealing with other things in life that has no connection whatsoever with finances. You get what I'm talking about? The confidence that you get from the way you deal with money and with the way we deal with people's money and the way you deal with the family money, the way you deal with your wife's money or of your husband's money, it has a way of making you have a bold, confident front when it comes to facing other issues in life that has no connection whatsoever with money. That's why financial integrity will always bring about a bold person, a courageous, confident person in life. And that's why you should do everything to ensure that you keep your integrity intact. Everything to keep your integrity intact. Because financial integrity makes you a bold person. Finally, financial integrity makes you a gold person. Financial integrity makes you a gold person. And I have to explain that because it's brought out of context. So we've talked about it makes you a whole person, it makes you a bold person, finally, it makes you a gold person. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and that's what we're going to be rounding up with. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and I'm going to be reading from verse number 20. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, I'll read from verse 20. Paul, writing to Timothy by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Now, he's bringing a picture of what the house of God looks like, the kingdom of God, what it looks like. He says he likens it to a great house. And in that great house, you have all kinds of vessels and ornaments. Some are made of gold and silver. Others are made of other things. Verse number 20. Some are made of gold and silver. Some are made of wood and of clay. Verse 21 says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter means from the things that bring dishonor, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, this is what it's saying. You know, some people believe that, well, God, if you want to use me, you use me. If you don't want to use me, you drop me. The theology is, if God wants to use you for something great, he will use you. If he does not want to use you for something great, he will drop you. It doesn't have anything to do with that. But this is actually confronting head-on that theology. That it's not just in the hand of God for you to be used for greater things than you are currently. That if you want to be used for something greater than you are currently, then there is something that is your responsibility. And that's what he's saying here. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel unto honor. In other words, you don't get it. You don't get it. I want to use you more than you actually want to be used of me. I'm more eager to make use of you to bring down my glory to meet the needs of people, to go to the nations, to touch the lives of people, than you actually desire to do it. But the problem is, if anyone desires such honor, such level of being used of God to touch lives and to mold destiny and to touch families and to touch nations, he will need to cleanse himself from the things that brings dishonor. So it's not just up to me, it's up to you. Now, when you have a guest in your house, there are certain cups that you use to serve them. I mean, you have a dustbin there, but you will keep it in a way that the guest will not have access to it. If he tells you, I want to go and drop something in, where's your dustbin? You see, bring it. Why? It's an ornament in your house, but you don't want anyone to have any contact with it. Why? Because you know it stinks. It smells. So, but you take them, let me take you to my house. Come. And then you take them to the theater where you have just prepared, you know, and you put the vessels. And when they say, I want a glass of water, can I go and get a bottle? No, don't use bottle. I'll give you this glass. You've just bought it yesterday. I'll give you this glass. That's a vessel of honor. It's prepared. Now, how does that link with finances? Finances just messes you up to the point that you are not usable. Lack of financial integrity just messes you up to the point that the master of the house does not find you usable. You want to be a gold person that is supposed to be on the table when the guests of life will come around that God can use to display his goodness and his glory. Then you need to cleanse yourself from these things. And financial integrity will get you to be cleansed. You need to cleanse yourself from all those horrible financial mess, all those horrible financial predisposition that makes you to lack integrity if you want to be used by the master. If anyone, verse 21, I love that, anyone, in other words, I'm looking to make use of you for something great, but you need to cleanse yourself from all of these things. You know, I've had chats with people that have come to me at some point, and they say, "No, Lord, Pastor, I'm just trusting the Lord to, you know, to open a door or to use me for certain things, and whether at the home level or at the family level or at the church level or to the nations, whatever level, and I'm just trusting the Lord to use me for that." And we have that cravings, that eagerness to serve the Lord. But what this passage is saying to us is one of the things that will mess us up completely from being used of God is when we get ourselves entangled in things that bring down and bring into disrepute our integrity in financial matters. You know what the Bible actually says in Luke chapter 16, verse 11? It says, if you don't know how to deal with unrighteous mammon, if you don't know how to deal with money, you think somebody is going to commit to you something of greater value and virtue? I'm paraphrasing now. Luke chapter 16, verse 11. If you don't know how to deal with money, with integrity, I have gifts, spiritual gifts I want to give out, but I'm not going to give it into your hands because you will mess it up just like you messed up in your financial in the financial matters of life. So integrity makes you a gold person in the hand of the Lord so that when he comes knocking, wanting to use somebody, somebody is already prepared for the master, prepared unto every good works. That's what the Bible says. People of God, I want to challenge you today. Let's be men and women of integrity. You will suffer loss. Certain things that you will have gained will be lost. And that's let's be frank with that. There are certain things that you will have gained telling lies that will be lost. But they are good losses. Absolutely good losses. I mean, some people just find taking things from their office and taking them home as part of their entitlement, as a matter of fact, that's actually my profit for working with that organization. You know? And you sneak it in the bag and put it somewhere so that people will not see. That's wrong. If you actually believe it's part of the profit for working for the organization, then hold it up high. Let everyone see that you're actually taking the pen into your home. Financial integrity. It is high time we came to a point where people can actually leave us with money and go to rest and go to bed. It is high time we came to a point where, as wives and as husbands, we are as transparent as a clear glass. This is the direction I'm leading. This is how much I have. This is how much I own. Like I said, it's easier in a platform of Christian family. But it is possible even when we are dealing with unbelievers. It's just a matter of principle. This is how much money I'm earning. This is how we're going to use it, because it's going to help us. It's going to build our home. It's going to build our family. And if anyone wants to converse on that, let them go ahead. Amen. This is our preparation for greater things, people of God. God is more interested in using us than we are interested in being used. But we need to get rid of this shadiness in our lives. Financial integrity is supposed to be what we as believers beam out to the world around us. The people around us must be able to have confidence in the way we handle money, because they know that their money is safe with us. Finally, I tell you a story. There was this young woman that was at the beach one day, and a six-year-old boy had just come. He's just put on his swimming trunk, and he had come with, you know, the other things, the clothes, the pair of slippers. And he came to this young woman, and he said, "Excuse me, are you a Christian?" The young woman was surprised by that kind of a question from a six-year-old. And she said, "Yes." "You mean you go to church?" She said, "Yes." "I mean, like every Sunday?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, in that wise, I may be able to leave my pair of slippers and my shirt with you. I'm coming back in a few minutes." She got it. She got that girl, that little girl, knew that integrity with any matter is supposed to be the natural way Christians behave. It's not a special gift for the people in the house of the Lord. It's just supposed to be our nature. I'm challenging you, people of God, if you've lost that nature, you have lost a great deal. Get it back. Get it back. It is important. Shall we pray?